Gamar Joba Kamalata Turk Airport. This is Tvilpod.com coming to you from our temporary perch here on the far side of the Black Sea. And apologies if there are any recordings in the background. I've worked hard to find a quiet spot with little success as I am in transit. Today is Thursday, the 6th of September, 2012. On this date, in 1522, the Victoria, the only surviving ship of Ferdinand Magellan's expedition, returns to Sanlúcar de Barrameda in Spain, becoming the first ship to circumnavigate the world. In 1620, the pilgrims set sail from Plymouth on the Mayflower. In 1781, Benedict Arnold orders the burning of New London, Connecticut, cementing his reputation as a sleazeball. In 1901, anarchist Leon Czolgosz shoots and fatally wounds U.S. President William McKinley at the Pan American Exposition in Buffalo, New York. In 1944, Soviet troops capture the city of Tartu, Estonia. In 1966, in Cape Town, South Africa, the architect of apartheid, Prime Minister Hendrik Verwoerd, is stabbed to death during a parliamentary meeting. In 1991, the Soviet Union recognizes the independence of the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania. And on the same day, the name St. Petersburg is restored after it had been renamed Leningrad in 1924. In 2008, Turkish President Abdullah Gül attends a football match in Armenia. He is the first Turkish head of state to visit the country. Idris Elba, the British actor who played Stringer Bell on The Wire, is 40 years old today. Also today is Jimmy Reed's birthday. We will hear a little bit more from him at the end. My Georgian Journal and Kvitis Palithar column this week is about sort of an allegory, a little unusual. Hope you like it. So, it's just me, no Matthias or Cameron. I'm hoping that Matthias and I will be together as I'm back in Tbilisi this coming week. So, the results of the NDI Commission public opinion poll were released on Wednesday, September 5th, that being yesterday. The survey was done by CRRC between July 31st and August 12th and was funded by Swedish CETA. They said that approval of former Interior Minister Vano Manabashvili's July appointment to the position of Prime Minister, 16% of the respondents disapproved, 18% they had not heard about the appointment, and 3% refused to answer. But all the rest, we got a little glitch here, but it looks like over 50% had a positive attitude. Those correlated with living in rural areas was 69% of respondents approved, whereas 55% in Tbilisi and 62% in other urban areas. 52% of respondents said that the role of the Prime Minister strengthened following Vano's appointment. 49% of respondents said that they were aware of the Prime Minister's four-year program called More Benefits to People, compared to 46% who said they did not know about this plan. Incidentally, this program has had the same name as the ruling party's electoral slogan. The vast majority, 85% of those who do not who know about the program support it. Especially popular are the 1,000 lari four-year vouchers for households, the job creation agenda, and the prioritizing of agricultural development. Of the 75% of respondents who are familiar with the creation of the employment ministry, 68% said they approved of this measure, while 16% disapproved. One interesting tidbit was the downward shift in the percentage of respondents who would support Bidzina's call for street protests, quote, if elections are falsified, end quote. This declined from 27% in June to 17% in August. The NDI survey also features pre-election results, but these will not be released until tomorrow, the 7th. On September 1st, the ruling National Movement submitted a list, its list of proportional majoritarian candidates to the Central Elections Commission. The 155 candidate proportional list is led by the incumbent parliamentary speaker, Dato Bakradze. Interestingly, the 10th person on the list is 21-year-old Mariam Sajaya, who served as a spokesperson for the government-funded short-term employment program for students called Summer Job. In May this year, the parliament passed a constitutional amendment reducing the minimum age for becoming an MP from 25 to 21. According to civil.ge, UNM's list also includes Mary Kokaya, 22 years old and number 40 on the list, and Samira Ismailova, 39 on the list, who will turn 22 on Election Day, October 1st. In general, the list seems to be, regular party people. I don't know that there are a lot of giant surprises. I will say that there's an unfortunate number of people who were appointed to positions that are supposed to be nonpartisan, who are now working for the party, as if these nonpartisan appointments, like, for example, the person, Levon Tarkashvili, who headed the CEC a few years ago, is now on the party list. That doesn't bode well for an independent civil service, especially in positions of leadership. Meanwhile, the former footballer Kaka Kaladze, who's captain of the Georgia national team until December 2011, will lead the list of MPs for Bidzina's Georgia Dream. Kaladze is also a majoritarian MP candidate running in Samtredia, where he's from. Number two on the list is Manana Kobakhidze, chairperson for Ivanishvili's party, followed by Alasania Datu Usupashvili of the Republicans, Gogi Topadze of Industry Will Save Georgia, Gubaz Sanikidze of the National Forum, and Zvia Dzidzikudi of the Conservative Party. In general, I would say that it's a collection of the intelligentsia and loyalists, probably more of loyalists, Ivanishvili loyalists than there are people with independent reputations of their own in something related to politics. And most of those people are with the Republicans and Free Democrats, and in general, I would not say that they were favored on the list. On September 3rd, Libad Ali magazine became available once again in print form after an eight-month-long hiatus. This is the magazine's 105th issue. It will have a circulation of 2,000 copies priced at 22 lari each. Editor-in-chief Shorena Sharvadashvili announced on Libad Ali's webpage that the magazine's comeback was possible thanks to a one-year advertising contract with Channel 9. Two partner organizations, IREX G Media Program and OSGF Open Society Institute, will continue providing a large part of the editorial and administrative costs for the magazine, she said. Libad Ali ceased publishing the magazine in January this year and since then has been making content available online as well as in a supplemental 8-page printed newspaper which featured a collection of the best materials and was distributed to several local papers in the regions. According to Channel 9's September 5th announcements, its newly created International Board of Advisors includes CNN's Larry King and Les Gelb, who's a New York Times international correspondent, editorial page editor, and president emeritus of the Council on Foreign Relations. Well, this week, Tbilisi is hosting high-ranking guests, including NATO Secretary General Anders Rasmussen, Republican Senator John McCain, and Senator Joe Lieberman, the alleged Democrat. They'll be participating in an annual ambassadorial gathering of Georgian diplomats that's taking place yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Foreign Minister of Sweden, Carl Bildt, and his Polish counterpart, Radoslav Sikorski, are already in Tbilisi attending ambassadorial gatherings. At a joint press conference, they expressed hope that Georgia's upcoming election should be a significant improvement upon previous elections. Foreign Minister of Argentina, Hector Timmerman, and Foreign Minister of Fiji, Ratu Inoke Kubuabola, are also expected in the capital. According to Georgian Foreign Minister Grigol Vashadze, Georgia is trying to prevent relations between Armenia and Azerbaijan from boiling over. According to the Black Sea Press, the conflict between the two countries escalated last week when the government of Hungary extradited Ramil Safarov, an Azeri army lieutenant who was sentenced to life imprisonment for murdering an Armenian lieutenant, Gurgen Marganyan, with an axe in 2004 when the two were training on a NATO training course in Hungary. On August 31st, Azerbaijani President Ilham Aliyev pardoned Safarov on his return to Baku from the Hungarian prison and treated him as a hero. He was given an apartment in Baku and promoted to the rank of major by the defense minister. Armenia, in response, has suspended diplomatic relations with Hungary. Today and tomorrow, high-level intergovernmental conference, the Environmental Education for Sustainable Development, is taking place. The Georgian government, in cooperation with UNESCO and the UN Environmental Program, UNEP, organized the event. Not sure why this is happening, since Georgia has so little credibility in terms of sustainability environmental policy, in my view. This may say more about the UN than anything. I've had several senior members of the Georgian leadership say that they don't believe that there is human-caused climate change. It would be nice if there was an unequivocal statement by the leadership, but particularly Misha, that climate change is real, and what the Georgian government is doing about it. The new U.S. ambassador to Georgia, Richard Norland, arrived in Tbilisi on September 5th and presented his credentials to the Georgian foreign minister. The U.S. Senate confirmed his candidacy in March. The new ambassador briefly served in Georgia in the early 90s as U.S. representative and acting head of the OSCE mission. I think he's already presented his credentials to the foreign minister. I thought I saw some pictures of that. EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton and EU Commissioner for Enlargement and European Neighborhood Stefan Füle said in a joint statement on September 3rd that negotiations with Georgia over the association agreement, which includes a comprehensive free trade agreement as well as dialogue about visa liberalization, are, and I quote, characterized by good progress, end quote. Very Brussels-style comment there. According to the statement, the aim is to get a visa liberalization action plan to the table by the end of the year. In the statement, the EU also expressed concern over the growing polarization and tension in the pre-election period and urged both the Georgian government and opposition to continue to ensure a peaceful, enabling, and competitive electoral environment, and also a healthy media environment. Georgian Prime Minister Vano Merabashvili met with Commissioner Füle and the President of the European Council, Herman Van Rompuy, in Brussels on Monday. Merabashvili was accompanied by Secretary of the National Security Council, Giga Bokeria, and the newly appointed State Minister for Euro-Atlantic Integration, as mentioned last week, Tornike Gordadze, the Kutaiseli. Following Goga Khachidze's resignation from his post as Minister of Environmental Protection in order to run for parliamentary seat on October 1st, Gyorgy Zedgenidze, who has served as Deputy Environment Minister since 2009, was made the new Minister of Environmental Protection. Zedgenidze is the highest-ranking Georgian politician from Ahal Tsikhe, other than Vano Merabashvili, and is supposedly, from what I've heard, a bright guy. So let's see if he can raise environmental issues and sustainability on the government's agenda somewhat. Georgia's public TV will launch pre-election political debates starting September 9th. Media.ge reports that UNM, Georgian Dream Coalition, Christian Democratic Movement, and the Labor Party, which have the right to participate in the debates under the election code, have agreed to take part. Since 2010, USAID and IFAS have been involved in arranging pre-election debates on the Georgian Public Broadcasting Channel. This week, the hardest NGO in Georgia, Transparency International Georgia, of which I'm the chair, together with CIPDD, launched the website shenmartov.ge, which means you rule in Georgian, where users can check out profiles of MPs, Tbilisi City Council members, and Ajara Supreme Council members, including their income, voting records, and companies they are affiliated with, and so on. Users can also send questions to MPs as well as comment and discuss draft laws that are pending in Parliament. Ivanishvili did an interview with The Atlantic Online. TI Georgia's analyst and Tpilpod.com's Salzburg correspondent, Matthias Hüter, made the following comment, and I quote, "Some of the statements that irritated me were the ones in which Bidzina claims that two-thirds of the post-war aid to Georgia disappeared in corruption, that there's no single foreign investor in Georgia, that there is no free civil society in Georgia, and there is not a single free business." Those things are, end quote, now my comments. Those things are certainly not true. Not to say that they're great in all possible regards, but they're unequivocal statements that are not true. There are free businesses. Two-thirds of the money was not stolen. There are foreign investors. I assure you there are foreign investors in Georgia. In a Financial Times blog article, Georgia, the Dark Side of the Rhodes Revolution, the author Michael Cicere analyzes the increasingly hostile contest between UNM and the Georgian Dream. The blog says that while President Saakashvili's government was successful in bringing about an end to low-level corruption, this isn't true elsewhere. He cites a senior Eastern European analyst with Oxford Analytica's Taylor, someone or other, a political risk consultancy group who said, quote, "What happens At the big end, at the senior level, I don't think much has improved there, end quote. Cicero recalls the government's handling of the sudden entry of billionaire Bettina Ivanishvili into politics, including his being stripped of his Georgian citizenship and a number of financial penalties. Quote, by using such heavy-handed tactics against its political opponents, Georgia could be undermining its reputation as a hands-off, pro-investment, technocratic state, end quote, the author writes. However, Cicero's respondent contends that there is little real competition in the country. There's a small group of people in Saakashvili's circle who control most major private enterprises. As proof, Cicero states that Transparency International Georgia's study of Georgia's fuel and food markets recalls that both markets were described as oligopolistic. Is that a word? Yes, oligopolistic. At the end, Cicero cites big shot Tom Duvall's words, quote, Georgia's economy has some shadowy places that merit deeper investigation, end quote. I agree with what's basically said in this thing. Collusion at the top is a very serious problem between business and government people. I don't know that Oxford Analytica guy, but he makes good points. Media.ge reported on September 4th that Channel 9 has begun to petition a petition asking that the OSCE representative on freedom of the media, Dunia Mijatovic, to support an extension of the must-carry rule after parliamentary elections. The must-carry rule, which went into effect on August 1st, obliges cable providers to carry all TV channels that broadcast news and political contents before the election day on October 1st. Kavkaz Center, a controversial news agency for the Caucasian Emirate, a militant network that aims to establish an Islamist state in the Caucasus, provides a different analysis of last week's top news story about the Dagestani-Kakheti border violence. In contrast to the official Georgian version of events, which claimed that a group of 17 fighters entered Georgia as a sabotage unit, the Kavkaz Center claims that the unit was a group of volunteer recruits for the military command of the CE province of Dagestan, who were conducting an operation against the occupying Russian forces. The group advanced to a location along the border, and information about the group's route leaked to Georgian authorities, who sent a large number of special forces units to intercept them. It leaked because they came across some guys, Georgians, who happened to be wandering around there. The Georgian authorities entered negotiations with the volunteers to lay down their arms, since, as the Georgian authority communicated to the recruits, an armed group on their territory could be used as a pretext for Russian military invasion, which everybody's been worried about since it was August. The recruits refused, but offered to simply leave the territorial borders of Georgia if the authorities would allow them to reach their destination. In Dagestan, negotiations devolved, and a battle ensued. In contrast to the Georgian story, the Kavkaz Center claimed that the five supposed hostages were not hostages, but a group that the recruits had just encountered en route. The group was released by the armed group, leading to the leakage of information to the Georgian authorities and the subsequent bloodshed. It seems that many of them were not from Dagestan, but were from other parts of the North Caucasus, in Chechnya and Ingushetia. According to Media.ge, Tribuna.ge was closed down due to financial difficulties after several subscribers annulled contracts. Founder of the publication, Eka Ratiashvili, says that the Tribuna.ge was financed by private funding, advertisements, and subscriber fees. The State Statistics Office of Georgia reported that annual inflation dropped below zero, that would be deflation, in August. Food prices fell by 2.8% in August, while transportation prices rose by 0.4%. From July, inflation rose by 0.1%. Georgia's central bank kept its main lending rate at 5.75% in August after reducing it by 25 basis points in June. Radio Imedi won the contest for radio broadcasting license in Mestia Municipality, the mountainous part of western Georgia. It will be on the air at a frequency of 107.9 soon. On Tuesday, Misha Saakashvili attended the opening of reconstruction work on Tbilisi International Airport runway. According to him, once the work is completed, the airport will be awarded the Code F status, allowing operation of any type of airplane. We reported last week that TAV Urban Georgia, the operator of the airport, will invest $65 million U.S. dollars in this 22-month project. In exchange, will have its operational rights extended to the year 2037. Last week, we reported on foreign direct investment numbers from Geostat, which have the Netherlands listed as the largest source of FDI in Georgia. One major reason why they are such a big source is not the Georgians, it's not Georgians living there, but the fact that a couple of major companies are officially headquartered there because of Dutch tax incentives for multilateral companies. This includes the energy company Rompetrol, which is Kavka's own, as well as Beeline and Geocell. Daily Media reported on September 2nd that the singer Katie Melua, who is originally from Georgia, from Abkhazia, by the way, married former world superbike champion James Toseland in the Nash Conservatory at Royal Botanic Gardens in Kew, West London, on Saturday. Best wishes to the newlyweds. And the finger of the week goes to Ramil Safidov, the Azeri guy who murdered the Armenian that he was taking the English classes with at that NATO exercise. That was an unbelievably cowardly act, and to have the leadership of the Azeri government reward him in that way is just not helpful to anybody. Each week, we feature the GeoCapital Number of the Week. GeoCapital is Georgia's hippest microfinance organization. Full disclosure, I'm a shareholder, and they kindly give to BeelPod.com an interesting number which lets people know what's going on in Georgia each week. This week, the number is 14, which is the official development assistance that Georgia received per capita in 140, which is the official development assistance that Georgia received per capita in 2010, the latest year for which the World Bank data is available. This number is down from the post-war peak of 2006 and of $206 in 2009, but is still up significantly from 2007 when it was 87 per capita. Georgia gets more overseas development assistance than its neighbors Armenia at 111 per capita and Azerbaijan 18 per capita. The Marshall Islands gets the most per capita at 1,677 per Marshall Islander, most all of which comes from the United States. Kolga Movies. Once, an Irish movie, 2006, will show tomorrow night, Friday the 7th. Melinda and Melinda, USA, 2004, will show Monday, September 10th. The 25th Hour, USA, 2002, will show on Wednesday, September 20th, 12th. All movies begin at 8 p.m. at Dom Kino, across from McDonald's and Rustaveli Metro. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. That is Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tbilpod, tblpod, at gmail.com. Or post to the forum on our website at tbilpod.com. We will finish with birthday boy Jimmy Reed, who was born in 1925, today, the 6th of August. This is from VJ Records, his 1959 recording of Baby, What You Wanna Do.
What's the name of this? You got me doing what you want me.
Hey. So baby, what you wanna let go?
No, baby, what you want me to do? Baby, what you want me to do?
Baby, why you wanna let go?
Yeah.
You could even make it, why I let go.
Make it short. Why I let go.
Here we go. 59-1211.
You got me running. You got me hiding. You got me run, hide, hide, run anywhere you wanna let it roll. Yeah. Done what you want me. beeping.